The word integrity seems to have gone out of style. In today's world, it's hard to know what to believe. With conflictual stories, spins on the news, and self-serving views, we cannot always determine someone else's integrity. We can only ensure our own integrity. Are we being honest with ourselves, with others, and with God? Are we faithful in our relationship with God, even when tragedy and disaster strike? The book of Job is a curious and strange book. Biblical scholars have lots of questions about the author or the editors, the timeline of its origin, and whether or not there was an actual person named Job. Or maybe this story was a parable meant to show that the innocent do suffer and to show the character of God's nature. The book is not easy to read. As a matter of fact, we might call this a dark tale, similar to a Shakespearean tragedy. As you get deeper into Job, you can actually get depressed reading some of Job's attitudes, and especially those of his friends. The comforts and consolations, or you might say the judgments and criticisms of Job's so-called friends who try to offer him comfort. The book, though, causes us to reflect about deeper questions of life, such as, why do innocent people suffer? Where does evil come from? Why do the wicked seem to flourish when the righteous are struggling? Why does God allow us to suffer? Does God punish people with diseases when they sin? If someone is sick, does it mean they have sinned before God and now are reaping the results? These are questions that have been asked by human beings since the world began, and there are no easy answers to these questions. The book of Job addresses some of the answers, but also raises even more questions. It's ironic that people have coined the phrase, the patience of Job, because if you read through the whole book, you will discover that Job is no more patient than any of the rest of us. He doesn't sit quietly by when tragedy strikes him and his family. He rants and raves and cries out to God bitterly with complaints and questions. However, through it all, he keeps his faith intact. He doesn't turn his back on God or abandon his faith. He still loves God. He still trusts God. And he goes to God with his complaints and his anger. Now, I know that some of us were taught in younger years that it is not okay to question God or to be angry with God. But I disagree with that. I think God completely understands our human nature. I think integrity of faith means that even if we're mad with God, we are honest with God, and we tell God exactly how we feel. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he knew he was facing the cross? He prayed to God in anguish. He didn't try to cover up his feelings or pretend or fake it that everything was great. He was in grief, and he went to God asking for strength. Pretending that things are great when they're not great is not what God wants us to do. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, not in pretense or in false piety. This story starts out with a proud father, God. God is pleased with his child, Job. God sees that Job loves him and trusts in him and seeks to be obedient in the way that he lives. Many would say that Job was blessed by God. He had a lot of children who loved him. He had a caring wife. He had a successful business, plenty to eat, and lots of wealth. Things were hunky-dory. But then one day, the devil came calling. The Satan, as it is translated in Scripture, wanted to test Job's faith in God. God said that Job loved him and was righteous no matter what. But the Satan implied that Job only loved God because things were going well for him. Job had it made in the shade. The Satan implied that if bad things were to happen in Job's life, he would turn away from God in an instant. His faith wasn't real. His faith was fake and only as good as the money and the well-being of the good life that he was enjoying. Okay, God said, you can put Job to the test. So the Satan began to test Job's faith. Tragedy after tragedy happened to Job. Life wasn't fair at all. He was grieving his losses. And to make things worse, he developed these terrible sores all over his body. He was mourning. He was sitting in a pile of ashes. In those days, tearing your clothes and sitting in ashes was an expression of grief. I'm sure his wife must have been very distressed, watching her husband suffer so much. She just wanted him to be out of his misery. So she tells him, Job, why don't you just get it over with? Just curse God and die and be done. But Job wouldn't do it. He loved God. Even in his misery, even after terrible tragedies, he asked his wife a poignant question. Do we only expect good things in life? Doesn't the rain fall on the good people and the bad people on this earth at the same time? You see, life is a mixture of good and bad, of good health and failing health, of life and death, of well-being and sickness. Job's friends heard about his suffering, and so they came to his side to offer him help and comfort. At first, they were wonderful. They joined him in the ashes. They sat quietly in solidarity for 7 days. But then, unfortunately, they opened their mouths and began to speak. They believed that Job must have committed some terrible sin to produce so much suffering. So they began to judge him and criticize him, and accuse him of not being faithful to God. Some friends they were. Maybe that's where we get the expression, if they are my friends, I would hate to see my enemies. Job kept telling them he was innocent. He hadn't done anything to deserve all this grief, all this terrible suffering. He was just living his life and being obedient to God. But no one would believe him. Only God knew his heart. His faith was surely put to the test. But he was not being punished by God with suffering for his sins. We see so many examples of suffering in our world today. Many times it's the innocent children who suffer the most. Our world is more violent than ever before on a daily basis. It's a challenge today for parents to keep their children safe, to try and protect them, to warn them of dangers, and at the same time not instill cynicism or negativity or distrust of the whole world. we do our best, the best that we can. At the hospital and at the funeral home are the two places where I most encounter these very real questions about suffering and our faith. People try and find and offer pat answers when a family has a child to die, or they offer platitudes to comfort. But really, that is worse than saying nothing at all. It's better to be quiet than to speak false reassurances. No, we do not know why tragedy strikes. It's a part of our lives as human beings. But I do not believe that God sends suffering or disease as a punishment for our sin. Sometimes we do bring suffering upon ourselves by poor lifestyle choices. But sometimes we get a disease and the doctors have no answer at all as to why person A got this particular disease while person B did not. Maybe even they come from the same family, but they don't have the same disease. I've been struggling recently with some health concerns and trying to learn more about. And I felt guilty, like I had done something to bring on this sickness. And the doctor kept telling me, he says, "You haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes these diseases come and you have no control whatsoever. So don't feel guilty about being sick." Sometimes, you know, people accuse us, just like Job, of bringing this on ourselves. And maybe, yeah, if we're a chain smoker and we get lung cancer, well, maybe that's true. But there are other people that are chain smokers and they never get lung cancer. We don't always know why certain crises come to us. But we have to figure out, how do I deal with it? It's okay to express grief. It's okay to tell God when we're in anguish and cannot answer those questions that haunt us. Our God understands. Our God will never stop loving us or caring about us. And I believe that our God will help us always when we go through times of suffering. We all have to face adversity in our lives. What do we do with our faith in God? Do we abandon it when tragedy comes? Or do we hang on for dear life like Job, complaining and crying all the way, but holding on to the God who loves us, who will see us through it all? Yes, we pray for strength, as the prayer that we read in our opening worship said. We pray for strength and for grace to get through. Sometimes we may feel like Job, there's no hope, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But Christ offers us hope. Our hope comes from the God who journeys that road with us. You see, Jesus walked the Via Dolorosa. He knows the way of suffering. And God will love us through it. And God will help us to find life again after tragedy. Sometimes healing may be a long time coming. It's a process. And everybody's timeline for healing is different. All we can do is cast our cares upon God in the process. God will be near us. God will give us strength. And God will give us grace to make it through. Amen.